People started sending me messages not only to ask advice, but also to express appreciation and gratitude. I still remember a young mother who had lost her husband in a car accident and sent me a heartfelt thank you note for saving her from committing suicide, saying that she never thought about loving herself because love for her always meant giving it to someone else. A busy executive in his 40s told me how wonderful it was to start his day with my messages. To him, they provided a moment of calm reflection and rest from his hectic schedule. A young recent graduate, discouraged after not finding a job, read my supportive words and gave the search another try, finally landing a job. When I read his news, I was overjoyed for a couple of days, as if I had gotten my first job. It made me profoundly happy that my simple messages could inspire people and help them in their times of difficulty. As my messages came to be shared by more and more people, and my number of Twitter and Facebook followers increased, people started calling me a healing mentor, which ended up becoming my nickname in Korea. I was then contacted by publishing companies offering to turn my writings into a book. In 2012, The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down came out in South Korea. To everyone's amazement, it stayed number one on the bestseller list for 41 weeks and sold more than 3 million copies in 3 years. Translations followed into Chinese, Japanese, Thai, French, and now English. I am humbled by the attention the book has received and hope it can be of help to readers and listeners of English, just as it has been to readers in Asia and France. The book has 8 chapters addressing various aspects of life, from love and friendship to work and aspirations, and how mindfulness can help us in each. For instance, I address how to deal mindfully with negative emotions like anger and jealousy, as well as life's disappointments, digging deep into my past to share my experience of failure as a new college professor. If you are overly conscious, the 3 liberating insights from Chapter 6 can be quite helpful. If you are anxious about your future or unsure about your true calling, I offer advice on how to increase self-awareness and how to discover it. Each chapter opens with an essay, which is followed by a series of short messages, words of advice and wisdom addressed directly to you, to consider one by one, and to reconsider and remember, so that they may accompany you in moments of anxiety or despair, and remind you that you are not alone. Each chapter then continues with a shorter essay, followed by another series of short prompts for meditation. Some people read or will listen to the whole book quickly as they would a novel. However, I would recommend that you take your time and reflect on what you have just heard before moving on to a new chapter. You will enjoy it more and find deeper meaning as you go through each chapter slowly. You should feel free to make notes about the parts of the book that have resonated with you. I hope that spending time with this book becomes an occasion to reflect on and meditate in your busy life. I hope it inspires you to connect with the kinder and wiser side of yourself. May you be happy, healthy, peaceful, and always protected from harm. Chapter 1. Rest. Why am I so busy? When everything around me is moving so fast, I stop and ask, is it the world that's busy, or is it my mind? We usually think of mind and world existing independently of each other. If someone asks where our mind is, most of us would point to either our head or our heart, but not to a tree or the sky. We perceive a clear boundary between what goes on inside our minds and what happens in the outside world. Compared to the vast world outside, the mind nestled inside the body can feel small, vulnerable, and sometimes powerless. According to the Buddha's teaching, however, the boundary between the mind and the world is actually thin, porous, and ultimately illusory. It is not that the world is objectively joyful or sad and produces a corresponding feeling in us. Rather, feelings originate with the mind projecting its subjective experience onto the world. The world isn't inherently joyful or sad. It just